Today I'm interviewing Jay Calio, a transgender man that lived as a woman for 50 years. I tracked Jay down after reading a comment he made on a New York Times column about feminism. Here's an excerpt of Jay's comment. "I lived as a woman for 50 years and was a real feminist. Then I transitioned to living as a man, and I was shocked at how different it felt on an everyday basis to be accorded the regard and deference that men are automatically given as their due in this world." He went on to say, "Gone were all the slights, interferences, being ignored, and challenges that seemed by comparison to diminish and drain my energy as a woman, not support it. Women get elbowed out of power all the time, and it becomes normal to be less than."
To me, the most important thing that I like to convey out of what I learned from my experience of transitioning from living as a woman for 50 years and then switching to presenting as a man in society is that it's entirely a far more respectful experience to live as a man in New York City, at least. And it's, to me, it was true to a really shocking degree. Now, I was a feminist for my entire adult life, and I was a little disconcerted when it seemed to me like the younger generation seemed to feel that most of the stigma and discrimination against women had been resolved, and that, you know, women were now liberated and could basically do as they pleased. And what I lived through is that women are constantly discounted and constantly undermined in life. And by comparison, when you present as a man, it seems like your way is just, you know, paved versus trying to slog through the mud.
You said that you noticed when you were walking down the street, people would physically get out of your way as a man, whereas as a woman, they wouldn't even give you physical space.
Yeah. And that was immediate. That was just an outstanding example of how people just seem to literally get out of the way for a man in a way that they never, ever had for me presenting as a woman.
Did you feel that way in other ways too? Like conversationally, did you feel like people were less likely to interrupt you, that they were more likely to take what you were saying seriously?
That was really the second thing that became apparent, was that simply people stopped interrupting. People interrupt women all the time. They talk over them. They can be in the middle of whatever, and men think absolutely nothing of simply overriding whatever they're saying. And I've watched this happen time and time and time again. Even women who are, you know, your so-called, I've heard them call themselves alpha females. Even women in positions of power with extraordinary education and background and experience and status and money and everything else that this society otherwise esteems, even those women are not afforded the kind of dignity, the respect, or authority that even a lowly ditch digger gets from another man. It's just extraordinary to me how it's still so unequal. And I've also, you know, learned all the somewhat subtle ways that men offer each other respect. You know, and some of it is simply the physical distance. A lot of it is that not interrupting them when they're speaking. You know, there are just so many ways that men signal respect to one another. So now that I get that respect from them, to me, it's glaringly obvious when they do not give it to a woman. So sometimes I see men really diss women I know and respect and love, and I can see the women don't even realize that they've been dissed, but they'll make eye contact with me, and it's like this sort of in-joke, like she doesn't really count, and it's just infuriating. You know, to me, a lot of what I've learned as a feminist in this experience has just been enraging, really. And I really wish that women could understand better all the ways that they are slighted. You know, we often, you know, whether the discrimination is based on race, color, creed, national origin, sexual orientation, gender orientation, whatever it's based on, we don't always know when we're being discriminated against because we don't have anything to compare it to. And as a woman for 50 years, I lived with these slights, and I simply thought life is difficult and you have to prove yourself every single day that you walk out the door, and you have to constantly try to reassert yourself and prove your worth and the worth of your ideas, and constantly struggle to keep some kind of authority or control in life. And then when I switched to living as a man, I found that authority was naturally granted to me. I was naturally followed as a leader. I didn't have to do anything. People seemed to simply expect it of me. And I didn't have to fight for it. So, you know, it just became so much easier to live in the world being taken as a man.
Do you feel like you've been less criticized for things as a man? I think there's this notion that women are less likely to try at things because they're more afraid of failure. But the reason that they're more afraid of failure is because they're more likely to be criticized than men are for that.
Well, it's much more than just criticized. I mean, women's ideas and efforts in life are looked at in askance. When a man does something, he's expected to take risks, to take the lead. People will naturally support him because they think he has the power, the strength, the courage, and fortitude to see things through. So if a man says something, it's taken seriously. If a woman says something, it's regarded more as fluff. You know, I know an awful lot of women who believe that they're getting a fair shake, and they truly are not. But they have nothing to compare it to. So it's like a fish living in water. Women are just so used to being undermined, often in subtle ways, just disregarded. And I've just seen how different it is to be on the other side of that now, and the inherent unfairness of it all just galls me. And particularly when I see young women who are investing in their educations, young women who have brilliant ideas, who are dynamic individuals, it makes me so sad because I know that they are very unlikely to be given the same position in life that they would have had they been born a man, with the same ideas, the same intelligence level, the same level of energy and enthusiasm and drive and, you know, whatever it takes to succeed in life. It just gets me. You know what I'm saying?
When you read articles about the strides that women are making and the strides that feminism is making, what are your thoughts on that? Are you thinking that they just don't get it?
You know, as a feminist, I thought I got it for 50 years. And, I mean, basically you can look at statistics about pay scale and, you know, how few women make it into political office and this and that. And you can kind of get, you know, sort of an idea of women's status in our society. But there's just this whole other level of positive feedback that men get that just feeds self-esteem all through the lifespan. Like, take, for example, women are so often judged on appearance. So that, you know, basically, if you're not beautiful and thin and young, you lose status in life as a woman. Women who turn middle-aged or senior are invisible in life. And meanwhile, you know, the young and beautiful are given status at least as long as they remain physically attractive. With a man, you know, he can be ugly, he can be, you know, fat, he can be whatever he wants to be, and he doesn't lose social status because of it. That might be changing a little bit, but basically, a man can retain a huge amount of power in society, and their physical appearance is considered insignificant.
What do you think the biggest reason for this discrepancy is?
I think that there's two factors at play. One is simply the presence of the hormone testosterone. It gives people a level of confidence that prods them to take actions in life that you don't take without testosterone. And you know, it's very hard to parse what part of that is a social construct that empowers men and gives men just a constant reinforcement of their sense of self-esteem, a social expectation that they're going to be powerful, that they'll lead, that they will take risks. And there's also the simple fact that testosterone does, in fact, imbue people with a greater degree of confidence. And most of the women who have transitioned to living as men and who take testosterone do report a certain aggressiveness that was previously unlike them. And I think the confidence level is what I noticed changed the most. It's that. It's the social reinforcement, in other words, environment, plus the testosterone, which is an innate nature type effect. So it's nature and nurture.
Right.
So I think both of those factor into men basically taking the lead where women tend to be more passive.
So I hear a complaint with women a lot that when they work with other women, it's harder for them to get ahead with other women. How did you feel that women treated you differently as a woman versus as a man?
You know, that's an interesting question. Now, before I transitioned to living as a man, I was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my esteem for women was something that straight women found very refreshing. So I was not ever seen as competition for them. So in some ways, I felt like I had a privileged kind of status with other women because to me, they were the most important human beings in my life. So I believe I always got the best from them as well. So I personally didn't experience a difference there. Now, one sort of sad thing that I do experience is that being taken as a man, I feel like on one hand, I receive a lot more respect from other women than I did as a woman. You know, I'm seen as a desirable partner. If I show a woman respect or open a door or do something old-fashioned like that, she seems really inordinately pleased. You know, that's something that I didn't get before from women. But I can understand that, you know, between heterosexual women, there might be quite an antagonism because there's a competition for male partners and to be esteemed by men.
So you're probably as enlightened as a man can get. If another man were to model himself after you, what would he do differently?
I think the main thing he would need to do is to respect women as human beings on an equal scale as other men. That's the simple truth. I think that there are men who do, you know, strive toward that. But it seems like when push comes to shove, most of them are willing to put women down for their own self-esteem or to bond with other men, which is another important factor. You know, that sounds like a very simple thing, but if men actually respected women as equals, a tremendous number of things would change in society. I was part of Hillary Clinton's campaign, and I watched as she was horrifically insulted, both as a woman being called horrifically derogatory names, you know, the B word, the C word, you know, I mean, just things that, having been involved in politics for many years, I never saw happen to a male candidate. That's just shocking. That kind of thing shouldn't be happening, and it wouldn't happen if women were not treated as second-class citizens. I mean, almost puritanical images come to mind about the temptress and the devil, you know? There are just some old archetypes that I think come into play when women who strive for power are concerned that really seem to allow them to be almost burned at the stake.
Is there anything that surprised you in the opposite direction when you became a man?
Honestly, I can't really say that there was a whole lot of good news for me as a feminist. One of the things that I learned that was positive was that I did notice that men do nurture each other. You know, I did learn something about how men bond, and I certainly learned that they had a kindness that I had really never received from them before. That was reassuring to me, and that was positive.
How did your ideas on gender change before and after?
I'm not sure they changed very much. Like I said, I did notice that men had a softer side that they do express with one another. So I have learned that men are not the ruthless competitors that many of them appear to be. And I basically look to gay men to be my model for a man. And I have met several gay men and worked with gay men over the years who, to me, really epitomize the kind of amalgam of both the strengths that one associates with women, like empathy, sensitivity, being very attuned to relationship and attuned emotionally to others, very nurturing, very respectful of people in general, that I generally associate more with women, and male kinds of strength in terms of physical courage and leadership and taking responsibility to a tremendous degree. So there are gay men who really I look to as my model for what a real man is. And that's been refreshing. Mm-hmm. There is a large group of primarily young people who've queer theory, which originated in England or started there, where queer would refer to a more androgynous state of being that does combine feminine and masculine characteristics. And I've always been quite charmed with the idea of trying to combine both the strength of men and the strength of women in my character and allowing both genders to blossom within one lifetime. And I really feel very fortunate because I've been granted an opportunity to truly express both of those, you know, sort of innate characteristics. And I wish more than anything that we basically had a gender-blind society, one that would allow people a really free range of expression in terms of, you know, who they are, what we want to do, what our dreams are, and how we're perceived in life. I wish women who sought power were not seen as, you know, shrewish or bitchy or manipulative or power hungry, the way a man who wishes for leadership is often seen as a leader with a vision and a dream, and it's seen as a positive kind of ambition and characteristic. So, you know, I wish women had the freedom to be that, and I wish men had the real freedom to be sensitive and be soft and be house husbands, if that's what they want, and not lose esteem in society because of those choices. Those are, you know, extraordinarily rich, beautiful lives in both instances, and I wish everyone had the freedom to be that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, thank you for speaking with me, Jay.
Take care, Michelle.
Bye.